Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Reading, writing, and arithmetic once were the bastions of any typical American public school student. The skill, some say the art, of handwriting, however, has waned considerably since those bygone days. Next week, a national summit on the topic of handwriting education will convene in Washington. Joining us now to talk about how handwriting affects fine motor skills and how some struggle more than others to master it is Ohio State University Professor Jane Case Smith. Jane teaches in the OSU Division of Occupational Therapy, where she has researched fine motor skill development and interventions for young children with disabilities. Welcome to the show, Jane.
Thank you, Ann.
Question for our listeners. What impact has the quality of your handwriting had on your life or on the life of your child? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can go to the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page. You can tweet us at AnnFisherWOSU.org, but you cannot handwrite this to us. You're going to have to get on a keyboard or some kind of keypad and do the job. Jane K. Smith, many occupational therapists across the country now are reporting an increase in the number of referrals for students with poor or illegible handwriting. To what do you attribute that increase?
Well, typically we see children with neuromotor deficits or motor planning problems that would be referred to us for many functional issues, handwriting being one of them. But we are seeing more referrals, and we're wondering if it isn't a true neuromotor deficit or disability, but a lack of instruction. And children who didn't receive adequate instruction or any instruction at all are just not able to figure out how to handwrite, and then they end up with lots of bad patterns and messy, illegible handwriting and on our caseloads.
When we're talking about handwriting and about education, handwriting education, are we talking about printing or cursive?
Most districts don't require rigidly a specific curriculum. Usually a curriculum is selected like Janulian or Zehner-Bloser and then taught to children. Most teachers are fairly flexible in whether or not they move on to cursive. Typically cursive isn't taught. So manuscript should be and sometimes is, and children learn to print, certainly, and then are encouraged to move to cursive. Many children do not move on to cursive.
Because it's not natural necessarily to move on to something like cursive or any kind of writing. It's not like it's an instinct for us to write, to grasp a pencil or a pen and write.
I think that's a question, because human beings, our language center of our brain is highly connected to our motor center. Even speech is the way that we express our thoughts, our language, through a motor capability. And I think handwriting is similar, that it's a way that we express our ideas and language. And MRI studies have shown that the centers of the brain related to language are very connected to the motor centers. Even gesturing, which most people, when they speak, they gesture. So there is a connection there. I don't know how important it is to development that we foster that connection. But at one level, I think handwriting is part of what humans do.
My guest is Jane Case Smith. She's a professor at Ohio State University, where she teaches in the Division of Occupational Therapy. She's researched fine motor skill development and interventions for young children with disabilities. If you have a question or comment for her, or if you want to tell us your story about how your handwriting, good or bad, good, bad, or ugly, has affected your life or the life of your child, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. So, Jane, is everyone equally capable of learning good handwriting? You know, you take a class of 25 kids, and 20 of them are somewhere along the continuum of acceptable. Five of them are amazingly poor at handwriting. What's the difference?
You are exactly right. We're not all created equal when it comes to handwriting. I would say a third of the children in first grade have beautiful handwriting. They don't have to be taught. They just can do it. A third of children are going to struggle because They need a little extra support and they need to be taught. And then probably a quarter to maybe a third really have some significant problems, whether it's paying attention to what they're writing, whether it is a coordination deficit. And those children need more significant support and should be taught how to do it.
You were talking earlier about attention deficits. Do kids with attention deficit disorder or ADHD have problems with handwriting as a rule?
Often do. Those are children that often had coordination problems in general, which may be neurologically related to ADHD. But I think most of it is they just aren't paying attention and their minds are racing ahead and their hands are a little bit slower. And they don't pay enough attention.
So in a way, are they handicapped by that in so much as that they're forced to rely on penmanship more than they're naturally given to? In other words, they might do very well on a keyboard, but they're forced to do handwriting instead.
It's a really good point because studies have shown that teachers do judge the quality of your words by how legible or illegible they are. So they're really affected. All their grades could be affected by their messy handwriting. Teachers aren't going to put up with it if they can't read an essay. What you do about that, there's a lot of controversy. Certainly, they can use more instruction and more support in learning handwriting. When should they move to a keyboard, and should they be allowed to only use a keyboard in the classroom are questions.
And on the other same token, keyboarding or keystroking or however you refer to it, that's not a requirement in schools yet. So they're cutting back on handwriting instruction, but they're not replacing it with anything else.
Most districts are not. Some districts have a typing keyboarding program that kids get in fourth or fifth grade, which is a little late for your struggling handwriter.
They're already suffering from the gaps that come from starting out slower.
Between third and fourth grade, children are required to write a lot. That's when they start to write full paragraphs and need to write quickly to keep up with their classmates.
Go ahead.
And the program that we've developed is really looking at a balance of working with teachers and providing good instruction for all students, and then individualizing specific supports for the children that are struggling. That said, I think come second or third grade, for the children that really just don't write legibly, they need to start keyboarding.
You're working on a project in Dublin schools that involves occupational therapists and teachers providing a handwriting project for first grade students. The results include students whose handwriting, legibility, speed, and writing fluency improves 25% during that program, and it occurs, you say, across all learners. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing there?
Yes, I'm teaming with another occupational therapist, Terry Holland, who's in that district, and we looked at all the best principles for how to teach handwriting and developed a program that we run with the teachers. So it uses visual models. It uses very simple terminology like tally and smally and a basement letter and slide down for the V's. And then we have the children do lots of practice and on whiteboards that they can erase. And from there, we have them work in groups where there are high-level and lower-level children, and we support peer modeling. We have them share their work with their peers who circle the best letter. And a really important component, and I got this component from Stephen Graham, who will be on the show later, is self-evaluation. Amazingly, a first grader can judge his best letter or judge what his handwriting looks like. And the point of this self-evaluation is just getting kids to be more thoughtful and to look at their handwriting and to figure out when they've done a good job. And then the other nice thing about this program, because we're working with the teachers, is we put the handwriting immediately into the context of their writing workshop. So they begin to write stories, and the teachers are there, and they say, now, is that what Ms. Holland would like your F to look like? Or is should that be a tally or smally? So there's a lot of reinforcement for their learning of handwriting in the writing curriculum.
Is there any substitute for practice, though, for kids who struggle at the outset? There's the kids that grasp it very quickly and easily. there's the others, the in-betweeners. I mean, is there any substitute? Just practice, practice, practice?
Practice is key, but I do think it should be practice with a visual model when needed. It should be practice where they evaluate their own work. And it should be put in the context of where they get some feedback, either from an adult or a peer, or that they self-evaluate. So practicing the wrong way to make a letter probably isn't very helpful.
Joel in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Joel.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Fisher, Ms. Guest. I have a fifth grader out in London schools that we've been working on his handwriting and making sure it was as proper as can be for a long time now. We always make our kids do extra reading, extra handwriting, extra math. He's headed into middle school next year, and I'm a little bit more concerned with focusing him more on typing, like you were just talking about, instead of handwriting. Because I see that is really where, a more beneficial skill to him growing up in this 21st century is going to be for him. And attached to that comment, I had a question for your guest about whether she sees the art of handwriting kind of like the newspaper, kind of like a dying form fading off. It, eventually be a time when we won't even need handwriting anymore.
Jane K. Smith?
Well, first, congratulations. I'm so glad to hear of a parent who really supports his child in academics. That's wonderful. And I also agree that fifth grade is a time where lots of writing is expected of children, a great time to move a child to more primarily keyboarding if they're having difficulty with handwriting. And that said, the district has to support that, too, with the technology made available to your son. Is it a dying dinosaur? I don't believe so. You fill out forms every day. You have to write your name, maybe up to 10 times a day. There are many occasions for using handwriting that aren't going to be easily substituted with a keyboarding or computer technology. Will we be primarily using computers for our written expression in the future? That could be true. But I still think there's a place for that personal note or for completing that form quickly in the doctor's office that you're still going to need handwriting for. And I do think it's a valuable part of the child's development of language, that he has this ability to use his hand to write language as part of his development.
I totally agree. I don't see it as it ever becoming an extinct situation, but because I do believe that handwriting is definitely an art form. We would never want to see calligraphy or the act of cursive writing die away, but just to say that just a realistic view on it that someday it will go, and I hope that more parents will start transitioning their expert handwriting and then kind of transitioning into typing, because I see that as just fundamentally strategic towards building our youth up towards the future. So that's all I wanted to say. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joel. Coming up, we're going to hear from a writer, Professor at Oberlin, who does believe that handwriting someday will become history. So stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
This is 89.7 NPR News. Thanks for joining us for All Sides with Ann Fisher. And you can help shorten the upcoming 89.7 NPR News winter membership drive. Become a sustaining member right now. For every 100 sustaining members we receive, we will eliminate one day from our drive. So you can help take one day off of the upcoming drive, and the drive begins soon. So visit WOSU.org and make your sustaining gift right now. And thanks for your support.
Support for 89.7 comes from OSU's John Glenn School of Public Affairs, offering continuing education and graduate degree programs designed for the working professional. More information at glenn.osu.edu.
51 degrees in downtown Columbus, occasional showers today and a high of 56, a chance of some rain tonight, maybe a little bit of snow as it gets colder, a low of 22 degrees, some flurries for Wednesday and a high of 31. All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
reading, writing, and arithmetic, once the bastions of any typical American public school student, now maybe the skill of writing, the art of writing perhaps, has waned considerably since those bygone days. Next week, a national summit on the topic of handwriting education will convene in Washington. Still with us is Ohio State University Professor Jane Case Smith, who teaches in the OSU Division of Occupational Therapy. Jane, once again, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Joining us now to talk about the idea that perhaps handwriting could go the way of the dinosaurs is Anne Trubeck. Anne is a freelance writer and the author of A Skeptic's Guide to Writers' Houses. Her article, Handwriting is History, published by Miller McCune Magazine, was chosen for Best Technology Writing in 2010. She is an associate professor in rhetoric and composition at Oberlin College in Ohio, of course, currently on sabbatical. And she's also writing a book on handwriting and its relevance in the digital age. Welcome to the show, Anne Trubeck.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You wrote an award-winning article, as I mentioned, that argued against teaching cursive in primary schools. You received more than 2,000 negative comments on that. So you got a taste of how people feel about their writing.
Absolutely. I was just shocked. The original piece I wrote went online around in between Christmas and New Year's a few years ago, and that's not a time you expect to receive a lot of email. But I opened up my email, and there were, you know, sort of 600 angry people, very upset at what I had argued in the piece.
Was there any large, major trend that they had in common? Arguments that stood out above all others?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people do believe that that handwriting is connected to the idea of being civilized and educated. And so for them, you know, the idea that you would not teach it is sort of saying we were not going to educate our kids. And then the other main trend is we have an association with handwriting as expressing our personality and our identity. And so there's this idea that, oh, we'll all become robots, you know, if we don't handwrite anymore. But, of course, that idea that handwriting is an expression of one's personality is pretty historically specific. It hasn't been true for most of human history, not even to mention American history.
The idea of the universality of handwriting, it's relatively new. I read your article, and that's, according to your article, it's relatively new in the West. Even though we were taught to read 200 years ago, we weren't necessarily taught to write at the same level.
Are you talking about in America?
Yes.
Yeah. American schooling, women were not taught to handwrite until later in the 19th century, although they were taught to read. And this was also true of of poorer people. So they maybe have taught to read, but the only people who were taught to write were men of higher classes. And then when they were taught handwriting in schools, it was a very rigid and rote method. It wasn't sort of, you know, express yourself. It was much more stringent. You must make your F's this way. You must make your S's this way, more so than what those of us in the 20th century have been taught for the most part.
And you talk about writing words by hand is a technology. It's not about that necessarily that physical connection, but it's a way to get something done, just as they used to chisel into stone.
Exactly. I mean, a pencil is a tool, you know, just on the most basic level. It's something that allows you to, you know, make marks on paper, just the same way that a computer is also a tool. And we used to have other tools for writing, like, you know, chiseling on stone or wax tablets. So it's just one of many technologies of writing that we've had in the history of human writing.
614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We're talking about handwriting, its future or lack thereof. If you have a question or comment for our guests, Jane K. Smith, OSU occupational therapy professor, and also now with us, Anne Trubeck, English professor professor of rhetoric at Oberlin College. Give us a call. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org as well. Jane K. Smith.
Anne, I have a point that I'd like you to respond to regarding the neurologic or brain process that occurs in handwriting versus keyboarding. And in handwriting, your brain has this sound, this word in its mind, and then it thinks of forms that it then creates with the hand. So there's a transfer of sound to form to hand that engages most of the brain. In keyboarding, what the child essentially does is scanning. He's looking and searching for the right key to press, and so he's registering lots of different letters to find the correct one. It's mostly an eye process, and it's a very different neurologic learning process. And frankly, concerns me that children would maybe begin initially writing, creating from based on a scanning selection process. Does your work address that at all?
You know, I'm not an expert on neurology, and I am convinced by what I've read that handwriting does create a certain kind of neurological activity that typing does not, and I grant that. And, you know, there's certainly, there is a loss there, perhaps, you know, if students do learn by typing as opposed to by handwriting. But there are things that offset that loss. For instance, as I heard you talking early in the hour, kids who are told that they're not as smart because their handwriting isn't as good, that would be lost because everybody's typing looks the same. And so there are advantages then that can offset the losses. I also find that touch typing is one of the most incredible neurological things. I mean, I'm amazed at what my fingers do under my, you know, without my knowing it, when they just fly across the keyboard, and the amount, you know, of action going on in my brain that I'm unaware of, I think is quite extraordinary. And I think touch typing is just a fascinating way to get, you know, what's called cognitive automaticity, where my thought is as fast as my execution of the thought. And it is faster than for most people handwriting. So, yes, I do agree. And I certainly am not saying no one should ever handwrite, or the art of calligraphy, or, you know, the art of and the processes should go away. But in terms of it being how we educate our children to express themselves for school, yeah, I grant there's a loss, but I also am arguing for the gains.
Well, Anne Trubeck, what about the idea of handwriting reflecting individuality? Can you get into that a little bit more and talk about that, the signature, for instance, and just, you know, we have handwriting analysts out there who probably tremor at the thought of
right,
going
yeah,
away.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it is a very historically specific notion. I mean, the idea in the, you know, in America, say before the Civil War, the idea that your handwriting would express your personality would have just sounded like crazy talk. You were trying to make it as, you know, official and as similar to what other people were writing as possible. But we do now have that idea. I would argue it's not, I don't think, you know, in any sense true, but people do believe in it. But I believe that great writing expresses individuality and personality through tone and voice, and that's a much more exciting and interesting way to express yourself than through how your squiggles look. Those handwriting analysts, I don't know what really to say. They're not going to like what I have.
Yeah. And yet, you know, some people can learn, children can learn handwriting and do it. I've judged writing contests for kids, you know, in grade school. And it's kind of shocking the ones who decide to handwrite. The ones who can write it by hand do very well at it, and the other ones do it on the, you know, keyboard it.
Yeah, it's a fine motor skill, absolutely. And some people have great fine motor skills and some people don't. But fine motor skills and writing don't have to be related. You can be a great writer with crappy fine motor skills. So that's what taking handwriting out of the equation does, particularly for young kids.
My guest, Anne Trubeck, on sabbatical from her teaching professorship at Oberlin College. Also, Jane K. Smith, OSU Occupational Therapy Professor. Questions or comments for them, give us a call, 614-292-8513. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. And Lynn in Lewis Center, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Lynn.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to mention that there are repercussions that initially seem very minor. My son was in kindergarten about 22 years ago, and we were told that he was going to be able to use the computer. He didn't need to learn to do cursive because his cursive was very, very bad. And we sort of went along with it. But as he got older, they would hang papers on the wall, projects on the wall, and his would stand out. Other children would be writing, and their papers would look very nice, and his would just look like a first, well, like a kindergartner had done it. Later on, as he gets to testing, essay questions were an absolute nightmare. And when you're trying to take notes and you just get further behind and further behind and further behind, there really are repercussions to just giving up on it.
Absolutely. I think there are many occasions when a child still has to handwrite, and you want his handwriting certainly to be legible. So I see it as a learning process that should be emphasized in school that goes from handwriting to keyboarding in a very thoughtful way, in a structured way, and schools fully understand when keyboarding should be introduced.
And also, Jane, I noticed that Lynn's talking about her son. And some studies have shown that boys develop fine motor skills later than girls. And also, Anne, your son struggled with handwriting at least early on in grade school. Is there a trend here, or is there a gender issue here going on?
Absolutely. My son still struggles with his handwriting, but, you know, he's now in seventh grade. Your son, I think, is much older, and there are just fewer and fewer occasions where that kind of distinction are going to happen. Most people are typing everything by the time they get to middle school. And this does, you know, the access to keyboards is really quite strong, and so there are fewer and fewer issues of the digital divide here. No college professor is ever going to want anything handwritten. And so those occasions are changing. And if we know that teachers discriminate and give lower grades to people with poor handwriting when, in fact, there's no reason to, in other words, the quality of the work is just as good, it seems to me instead of saying, well, let's make everybody's handwriting look good because teachers discriminate, we should just get rid of the handwriting that leads to the discrimination. Boys have worse fine motor skills. They develop later. Elementary education teachers are predominantly female. A lot of them have very fine hands and are very proud of that. And I think these things do come into play.
Lynn, thanks for your call.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Things have changed a lot in 20 years. Give us a call and tell us how you learned and how your handwriting, penmanship, however you want to call it, affected your life growing up and into adulthood. Maybe your child has a story to tell as well. You can tell it for them, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. From Gosia on Facebook, she writes, I think one of the problems with handwriting is that often kids start school too early, and they're developmentally not capable of having precise hand control, etc. To my understanding, this particularly applies two boys. We have an email from Sue. She says, I am 50 plus years old and learned in my first high school drafting job that my handwriting was indeed important, and this was strongly reinforced in college and subsequent professional jobs. I have three children ages 17 to 21 who have always had very, very messy, almost unreadable handwriting, much to my frustration. With that said, all three children grew up to be quite good at the keyboard and all outstanding readers and writers, something which was not my own strong suit. So good penmanship doesn't necessarily translate into good writing.
But Jane? I think it can contribute, and the way that we teach handwriting is a lot about planning what you're going to put on that paper, writing it on a line, writing it in an organized way. So self-regulation as well as self-evaluation are a big part of the handwriting program that we implement, and those translate directly to writing, to planning what you're going to write with an introduction, a middle, and a conclusion. And so I think that if you create an environment for learning handwriting that's going to link directly to a child's learning to compose and write his ideas on paper, that it's an add to. It doesn't detract from that.
Yeah, and I would argue, I mean, I think that's interesting, but that's one view of what makes for good writing is planning in advance, you know, and thinking about the introduction and, you know, what you're going to say. One could also say, well, one of the great things that word processing does is allow us to revise a lot as we come up with new ideas and as we discover better ways to say. And so actually being able to just jump right in and write without that planning process and then having a second stage where you go back and say, okay, what is the best of what I've done? And I can easily revise and change would be another view of how to promote strong writing. So it's not so much that I disagree with what you're saying, Jane, but that there are other ways to view what makes a, you know, strong writing.
Frank from the Hilltop Neighborhood. Welcome to the show, Frank.
Hi. What I want to say is that authorship is a conversion of thought to text. And minds work much more rapidly than hands. And I find the difficult thing in writing, not, I don't mean writing physically, but in authorship, is holding a thought in mind while I take the time to put it down. And I think keyboard facilitates that. And I think authorship, or the composing thought and converting it to text, is essential to education. And anything that interferes with that should be done away with. We should teach the kids to type right away.
Abolish it. Okay. Go ahead.
I think that's a fantastic point, and that's one of the things that I find so fascinating, is that what we really want, you know, this idea of cognitive automaticity, we want the speed of thought to match the speed of execution, exactly what Frank just said. And the next step, of course, is voice recognition software. You know, we can go back to orality. We can just talk to the computer, and the computer will then translate what we have to say, you know, in words, and we can get even faster. And I absolutely agree. That's what writers want. We want to be able to get to diminish whatever comes between our ideas and what we produce.
You know, in preparing for the show today, I decided to start longhand writing instead of using my keyboard, and it was painful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to do a little thank you note was one thing. To actually start to compose questions for this was a completely different ball of wax, very different. I haven't done it.
Mm-hmm, exactly. I mean, for most adults, our handwriting is atrophying. There are very few occasions where it's necessary, and they become fewer and fewer each year. I mean, 4 years ago when I first published on this, people could come up with examples, and all of those are now gone. I mean, there are just very few examples when, you know, other than in school, in the early grades, where you need to handwrite.
Go ahead.
My point is really not to throw the baby out with the bathwater, and I think there is a very critical developmental process that goes on. When children are first, the first thing they do when they're 3 and 4 years old, when they have an idea, is they draw it. And that drawing is very important to their beginning to express themselves and their ideas. And they do it like some, you know, all day long. And then that moves into writing words as their thoughts as well. And so I believe it may be key to neurologic development, brain development, and their ability to express themselves in a written way that can move into keyboarding. I'm just not ready to give it up.
Well, what about that, Anne, that idea that a kid picks up a crayon and starts drawing and then starts making letters that way?
I don't think writing is natural. I think it has to be taught. If we look at human history, you see cave paintings, you see all sorts of examples of humans expressing through drawing, far, far before you see writing. That is something that civilizations develop and then teach their children. I don't think you go naturally from scribbling with a crayon to writing a word.
Okay.
You have to be taught that.
Anne Trubeck, thanks for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
My guest, Anne Trubeck, she is a professor at Oberlin College in Ohio, of course. She's writing a book on handwriting and its relevance in the digital age. Coming up, we'll hear from another researcher on the issue of handwriting. Stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
It's a story 200 years in the making, brought to life by Ballet Met, the CJO, and WOSU. Jazz Moves Columbus celebrates the city's history in vibrant songs, thrilling dances, and stirring images. Experience the energy inspired by the city founded along two wild rivers. Jazz Moves Columbus, the story of our city through kicks, turns, and trumpet blasts. February 2nd through the 12th. For tickets, call 614-469-0939 or visit balletmet.org.
And this is 89.7 NPR News. Stay right here at 11 o'clock for Tech Tuesday. We'll talk about some apps for managing stress and also consumer electronics. That's Tech Tuesday from 11 till noon on 89.7 NPR News.
Support for 89.7 comes from the Physicians Free Clinic and Voluntary Care Network, providing charity medical care for Central Ohio's uninsured patients. More about joining the Columbus Medical Association Foundation and supporting the clinic is at goodhealthcolumbus.org.
Be sure to visit WOSU.org/allsides for the latest from our show. You can also listen back to the archive and of audio and video of every show. That's WOSU.org/allsides. 51 degrees with some light rain, occasional showers today, a high of 56 degrees. A chance of rain tonight, mixing with a little bit of snow as the temperatures drop, a low of 22. All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Reading, writing, and arithmetic, once the bastions of any typical American public school student. Now, reading and arithmetic, yep, that's still important. But the skill of writing, some say the art of handwriting, however, has waned considerably since those bygone days. Next week, a national summit on the topic of handwriting education will convene in Washington. We'll have details on our website at WOSU.org/allsides. Dr. Jane K. Smith still with us. She's an OSU occupational therapy professor. Jane, once again, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
She will be speaking at the summit with Dr. Stephen Graham. Dr. Graham is with us now. He is the Curry Ingram Professor of Literacy at Vanderbilt University, where his research interests include learning disabilities, writing instruction, and writing development, and the development of self-regulation. Welcome to the show. Steve?
Hi, how you doing?
Very well. Thanks for joining us. To our listeners, 614-292-8513, we do have calls waiting. I'm going to try to get to as many of them as possible. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. Steve, you're a national expert on writing and the effectiveness of teaching handwriting. Is everyone equally able to learn handwriting?
No one's equally able to do anything. There's always individual differences. And so I think one of the ways of thinking about this, whether we're talking about handwriting or typing, some kids will be more proficient with that and some kids will be less. I think the issue about whether or not almost all kids can learn to handwrite well enough or type well enough so that it doesn't interfere with their writing or authoring, I think that is the case for most kids. We can reach that level.
To what extent is the process developmental versus a matter of being taught and then practice, practice, practice?
Well, I think one of the things to think about writing in general is where we tend to think of language as a activity that we acquire normally through conversation and as we develop. Writing has some of those attributes because it's a language skill, but it's also not something that's typically developed naturally. Writing per se is only developed in two or three places historically, independently. So it is one of those things that is very important that we teach kids the types of skills, the strategies, the knowledge that they need to be successful as authors, using one of your former guest questions or comments.
Robin in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Robin.
Yes. Hi, I kind of have a three-part question, and I have to get this off my chest. Not all households are, you know, have the luxury of having computers. That's not even been taken into consideration.
Do you mind if I say something about that?
Yeah,
for you?
Sure, Steve.
So I think one of the things that's really important here, the reason that we have this conversation about handwriting is that we live in both a digital world in a handwriting world. We really live in a hybrid world. So for about 80% of homes, there are word processing capabilities in them. And at home, a lot of kids use digital tools for writing, but not all. At school, in terms of national surveys that we've done from first to 12th grade, almost all writing is done by hand. Most schools do not have the computers for kids, even in high school and middle schools, for kids to write digitally. So we live in this hybrid world where we have both of these going on, and there are also a large number of households, as you point out, that don't have these electronic capabilities.
been
Robin.
Affected by both.
I'm sorry, Robin, we missed what you just said.
Oh, I've been in both situations. I've had situations where I wasn't even able to go online, check my son's grades. I do have a 12-year-old who his handwriting is unlegible. And I'm 44. When I was in school, it was a part of the learning curriculum. I can remember seeing the appliques up on the wall that even had the arrows pointing the direction of the flow of how the handwriting, once we started transitioning into cursive. And it was mandatory that we learned it. Someone forgot to tell me, and, of course, I have a 21-year-old who's in college who has cute little bubbly cursive penmanship. And then in my 30s, I had two back-to-back. And in that process of getting them through elementary, I noticed that I didn't see consistency in them learning how to write cursive. And I guess in my age group, they didn't let us know that it's no longer mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
And what has happened, you know, as a consequence, I cannot read my son's writing. The teachers cannot read my son's writing.
So Robin, did you have a question?
Certainly,
okay.
I do. I don't know how to help my son.
Mm-hmm.
He has rough drafts that he does have to turn in for credit. They want to see that he put that he didn't plagiarize. They want to see that he put the work into his reports. He's required to do 3 reports per quarter, and he can't rough draft anything that's legible.
I can give a few simple ideas. One might be to have an example of the cursive letters beside him as he's writing just the strip of the alphabet letters. And I think you giving him specific feedback about his letters could be very helpful. So I think you are right on that he should be given feedback, descriptive, not punishing, of course, that can promote better formation of letters.
Thanks, Robin, for your question. Appreciate it. John in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, John.
Thank you. I think it's important that we make a distinction between handwriting as a way to communicate with somebody, writing as a way of expressing in creativity, and writing as a way to learn. In my case, I had 6 degrees from Ohio State, and I noticed that when I would recopy my notes by hand, I learned them better than if I were to type them. I suspect that's because I'm of a certain age, and handwriting I learned how to learn from, and I'm hoping that perhaps the current generations that are not learning handwriting as much as a way of learning can transfer that to their keyboarding skills. But is there any research or has there been anything shown about how handwriting and keyboarding as a learning style or learning technique?
Steve Graham?
It's a great question, and I love your distinction between the 3 ways of thinking about this. We have a large amount of evidence that's been collected over the last 40 or 50 years by researchers that indicates that when you write about material that you read, when you write about material presented in the classroom, it facilitates learning and understanding of that material. There's no question about that. We're absolutely certain of that. What we're not as certain about is whether or not there's differential effects whether you're doing this by hand or whether you're doing it via word processing. Those kind of studies just really don't exist in terms of having enough of those to make a clear distinction. And they've been inconsistent in their findings, even for learning simple things like how to spell words. On the other hand, there's no reason to think that when you write in various ways, whether it's word processing or handwriting, given kind of the overall effects on this, that both won't be effective. We just don't know differentially.
Uh-huh. I'm just curious if perhaps it was the way I learned to learn, because I am over 50, as opposed to kids that then would be keyboarding, if they would learn to learn that way better.
I suspect there's some truth in terms of what you're saying, and as kind of an interesting aside here, Vic Penn this last year did a survey in Canada of adults from college age on up about whether they preferred to study by hand or on the word processor, and overwhelmingly they preferred to study by hand, and they also thought it helped them to learn the material they were studying better. Now, that's not exactly the same as actually measuring that, but there is this perception on the part of adults that studying by hand versus word processing is more effective.
Thank you very much, John, for the call. Appreciate it. 614, well, we're running out of time. I want to get to the calls that we do have. Tara in Delaware, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Tara.
Hi, thank you, Ann. I'm really just calling because I'm a calligrapher by trade. So not only is my livelihood related to handwriting, but it's something that I enjoy. And as your previous caller just said, I mean, it's kind of something I wanted to say too, was I learned so much better in high school and in college by handwriting my notes and by recopying them. And just this idea that we're no longer teaching cursive, let alone any handwriting, just doesn't make any sense to me. And I guess that's just my comment.
I learned the same way. I copied over things a lot, and I suggest that to my son, and he thinks I'm nuts.
Yeah, I understand.
Times have changed. Steve Graham, I mean, times have changed. Are we talking about apples and oranges now when we look at past generations and compare them to the current, the kids who are in school now?
Well, I think we have to think about this in terms of some unintended consequences. And so earlier in the show, we've talked about handwriting, we've talked about word processing, and speech synthesis came up as well. And so, you know, the kinds of conversations we're going to have around transcription, which basically is what handwriting, typing, and speech synthesis are going to change over time as new tools become available. And so for something like speech synthesis, where we're talking about being able to, you know, to write at the speed that we talk, one of the unintended consequences is that you're going to speak extemporaneously off the top of your head. And by about 10 years of age, writing isn't speech anymore. It's more complex. And so we're going to have to think very carefully about how we approach composing or authoring once we have faster tools for getting words down onto paper. And so I think these kind of conversations that we're having now will shift and change as the technology changes as well and as the technology becomes more universally available.
Email from Sarah. She says, when I was an undergrad, no one had laptops, so everyone took handwritten notes in class but then typed assignments at home. So I was pretty good at handwriting and typing both. My job for the past 10 years is very typing focused, but now I am back in graduate school and I cannot take handwritten notes. My hands start to hurt. I cannot write fast enough. It is really messy. We live in a computer world now. I guess I can kind of share that frustration. Mitchell in Dublin, are you on the air? Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'll try to keep this quick. I was wondering if the study that the professor is doing in Dublin, if they plan on taking it to a school that, like an inner city school, someplace that's not quite as affluent as Dublin, to see if maybe it works for kids that are a little bit less, have a little bit more problems with their schoolwork. And I'll take my comment off the air. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Mitchell.
Absolutely. We've written another grant to take it, just as you said, to a school with less resources and families without as much support, perhaps, of the student. And I think it I don't know that it will be quite as successful when there's other environmental factors. I really appreciate Steve's point that once you speed up ability to express your thoughts, doesn't necessarily mean that they're higher quality or that it's a positive effect on your written expression.
You know, I'd also like to comment about the question that was just asked. We conducted a couple of years ago a study in the D.C. public school area with kids in very low-income schools and also kids who struggled in terms of their overall authoring or writing skills. And we spent about 15 minutes a day, 3 days a week, teaching handwriting to kids in those schools. And what we found was that their handwriting got better, which hopefully that's going to be the case since we're teaching it. But more importantly, what we found was by teaching those handwriting skills, the quality of their writing got better, or authoring got better, the amount that they produced when they wrote stories or other compositions increased, and their sentence skills improved as well. And so one of the ways of thinking about handwriting and also typing, if you'd like, is that until we become automatic and fluent with these skills, they interfere with other writing processes. And so really a goal for a writer is not to have to think about these things. I don't think about keyboarding. I don't think about handwriting when I'm writing in either of those forms. And that's a good thing, because otherwise it's likely to interfere with planning, with generating and getting content onto paper. It may interfere with sentence construction skills at the point that I'm getting ideas down onto paper.
So the idea is more of both.
Well, I think if you go back to what I said about a hybrid world today, mm-hmm. kids need to be legible and fluent in terms of their handwriting in school. Otherwise, it's going to be problematic. But we also live in a world where a lot is done digitally, and kids move into college and in the world of work where most of the work's done digitally. So they need to be fluent with typing and keyboarding as well.
There's some national standards out there. 43 states have accepted them, where they're taking handwriting out of the curriculum. It's not being reinforced at that level. What are your predictions, Steve Graham, in terms of that?
I think it's a mistake. I think we need to have typing in, just as that's now a case with Common Core. But I think relegating handwriting to first grade, which is what Common Core does now, is assuming that kids develop what they need by the end of first grade. And in fact, fluency in handwriting keeps developing up through about ninth grade, adding about 10 letters per minute. And so we're going to need to pay attention to this for two reasons. And one of those reasons is, as mentioned earlier, people form opinions about the quality of your ideas and text based upon your handwriting. So if you're doing a lot of handwriting in school in terms of papers and tests, that can have a negative effect. And the other is, we want kids to be fluent. And if they're fluent, there's less likelihood that handwriting or keyboarding, for example, will interfere with other writing skills.
Steve Graham, thanks for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Steve Graham, he's a literacy professor at Vanderbilt University. He will be presenting and speaking at the summit, the 21st National Handwriting Day in Washington. We'll have more information about that on our website. Also, Dr. Jane K. Smith. Thanks for joining us, Jane.
Thank you, Ann.
Jane is an OSU occupational therapy professor. She will be speaking as well at the summit in Washington. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.